Hi, it's Brandy Taylor. Welcome to the Business Beauty Network podcast, where business meets beauty. It's not just lipstick, it's business. We will share thought-provoking conversations with business and beauty professionals. Our goal is to empower, motivate, and inspire you to take your business to the next level. This episode is sponsored by StyleSeed. Join StyleSeed today, trusted by top professionals and adored by clients. Hey, welcome to the Business Beauty Network podcast, where business meets beauty. Welcome. I am super excited to share a new episode with you today. But before we get into that, make sure that you are subscribed to the Business Beauty Network podcast wherever you're listening. And don't forget to share it. If you know someone who would benefit from this awesome content, please share it. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and many more. We would love to connect with you there. Our website is businessbeautynetwork.com. My website is iambrandytaylor.com. And you can email us at hello@businessbeautynetwork.com. Now that all of that is out of the way, I am super excited to bring a new episode today. I had an awesome chat with Stephanie Mitchell. She's a marketing expert and she works with beauty professionals. I am super excited because it's the fourth day of March and we are into a new season. We're going into a new season. Spring is this month. It's also Women's Month. It's also Easter this month. So there's a lot of things going on in March. March represents newness, a new beginning, springing forth, and just starting something new. A lot of times this time of year, people are looking for a new look. They're looking to change up their look and their routine coming out of the cold winter months going into the spring. So there's so much newness going on. This is a great time to really attract new clients and to show them the awesome services that you have to offer this spring. Looking at the new season, what is trending right now? What type of services should you be promoting? What type of services should you be offering? What type of email should you be sending out? Like, what should you be doing right now to really stay top of mind with potential clients and attract more of your dream clients? This is some of the things that Stephanie and I talked about on today, and I'm super excited to share this episode with you. Here is a little bit of Stephanie's bio. From being the marketing director of a high-end tech company to running her own marketing agency and now teaching other business owners how to do marketing, let's just say marketing is a huge part of Stephanie's life. Stephanie is a recovering perfectionist and proud Canadian living in Italy. She helped beauty business owners overcome self-doubt and imposter syndrome by teaching them how to find their perfect clients online with a strong personal brand. She teaches Facebook and Instagram ads to attract clients and grow your appointment book in her program, The Ad Lab. She also hosts online events to help you grow different parts of your brand and business. I think you're really going to enjoy this interview, and here it goes. Hey, welcome to the podcast. We have an awesome guest today, Stephanie Mitchell. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for having me, Brandy. I'm very happy to be here, and I think that's going to be an amazing chat.
Yes, I'm excited to have you too. So before we learn more about you and your business and all the awesome things you're doing, tell us something about yourself that most people would not know.
Well, I was just telling you before that I moved to Italy last year. So I speak Italian and I'm pretty good with Italian, but there are certain words that I have trouble with. So, like the difference between hair and hat in Italian, like it seems like such an obvious thing, but I still can't figure it out. So that's one thing that a lot of people don't know about me and just about people who maybe learn languages in general. Some of like the basic things, so they're really hard to remember when learning another language.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, was that difficult to learn another language?
It was difficult to, like, for example, I got my driver's license here a few months ago and I had to do my driving lessons in Italian. And my driving instructor, like, was a very passionate man who liked to yell a lot. And so that was stressful, like learning how to drive. Because I drove in Canada, but I never drove an automatic, a standard car, like with a stick shift. And in Italy, you have to. So I had to learn how to drive a stick shift in the middle of a city with this guy yelling at me in Italian and dealing with Italian traffic. So yeah, in certain situations, it can be stressful.
Well, that's definitely interesting. Well, thanks for sharing. So Stephanie, I know you have like a marketing background, and now you specialize with beauty professionals. Now, how did you get into the working with beauty professionals?
Yeah, it kind of happened to me randomly. So my background is in marketing. In Canada, I was actually the marketing director for several different tech companies. And both of those companies where I was the marketing director, they were acquired by larger American companies. And having had like shares of the company that, you know, gave me the financial freedom essentially to finally move to Italy. My boyfriend at the time was living in Italy. And so I decided to, you know, quit my job and move to Italy and start my own business. After a few kind of wrong turns, I think that a lot of people who have their own businesses will say it's not like a straight road. Like there's so many different zigzags that you take to get to where you are today. After a few different zigzags, I essentially started a marketing company, and I didn't really know what kind of clientele I wanted to work with. I just knew that I wanted to do marketing services like what you do now, Brandy. And so I just kind of started working with some small businesses and happened to work with a bunch of beauty businesses like salons and spas. And I really enjoyed them. I loved the clientele. I loved working with like creative business owners. I loved working with mostly female founders. And so I just kind of decided, no, this is like the niche that I want to get into. My background is not in like hair or aesthetics or anything like that. And then a few years ago, I stopped taking on one-to-one clients and just started teaching marketing and specifically advertising and to beauty business owners instead of actually doing it for them.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, tell us about I'm curious about the shift. So you were doing it for them and now you're teaching. Like, what are some of the things that you did for the beauty professionals you worked with before you started teaching?
Yeah. So I had a marketing agency. So I worked with other people as well. I hired people who were specializing in websites, branding, email, SEO, social media, advertising. What else? Content creation. Yeah. So like lots of different parts of marketing. They're all really important. But the shift happened when I just realized that I'm not meant for taking on that kind of work. I tended to like want to over deliver all the time. I overextended myself. I had a string of not too great clients who were on like a really small budget, but really, really wanted huge results with it. And I just realized like, I don't like that kind of expectation on myself. I'm not good at setting boundaries with people. So I just realized that I wanted to stick in the industry and stick with marketing, but actually teach people how to do their own marketing and specifically how to advertise themselves on social media using paid promoted ads on Instagram and Facebook, because that was like the number one thing that I always helped clients with was like, they would say, I need more clients. And I'd be like, hey, let me run your ads for you. I know I can get you a bunch of clients with them.
Well, thanks for sharing it. So now it's the new year, you know, those J months, right? And in the industry, in the beauty industry, typically this is like a slower season. So for some, but for some, it can be a slower season.
Yeah.
And for some of the people that I've been talking to, it seems to be a shift in like their clientele. The client is shifting and they're looking at like, how do they bring in more clients this year? And a lot of people are looking at that right now. So I think it's a perfect opportunity to have you on.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, right. Let's kind of go through that. So like, it's a few weeks into 2024 and the holidays were busy, but maybe the last few weeks been a little slow. This is actually a great time to kind of get your marketing together.
Yeah.
Excuse me, but what are some things that beauty professionals should be thinking about right now in their business?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when it comes to advertising, you know, I'm obsessed with Facebook and Instagram ads. And I think it's actually a great time to be advertising because One of the best reasons is that the ad cost goes down a lot in January. If you run Facebook and Instagram ads, you know that November and December tend to be the most expensive months. In fact, I actually turned off my advertising in December when normally I run it all year long just because my return on investment wasn't working. And that's because there's so much competition for Black Friday, for Christmas, for, you know, Boxing Day, New Year, like all that. In January, all of those new businesses who were advertising over the holidays stop, and that means there's less competition and the ad costs go down. At the same time, like you said, it does tend to be a lower, kind of slower season. So maybe you do need a little bit of a boost in order to get yourself in front of new clients and reactivate some people who maybe they've heard of you before but have never been in. Maybe they haven't come in like a few months or a few years, and you can target them with ads. So that's one thing to look out for. Another thing in January to look out for is Valentine's Day. Today is the 16th, so we've got a little less than a month. In fact, this week I'm sending out an email to my email list with some promotion ideas for Valentine's Day. I think that putting together a package, whether it's like, you know, a Galentine's Day package with some like special like gifts included, and or like a couples package or gift cards or retail like bundles. Like there's so many different things that you can do for Valentine's Day. And I think it's a really good time to start on that. In fact, if you haven't yet, now is the time to do it, because I like to run ads like a month in advance of the actual like holiday.
Yes. And you said something there, like, you know, you're getting your email ready. And that's something that I find a lot of beauty professionals, when I talk to them, they don't always utilize email. Or even if they do, it's very seldom that they'll email with their clients.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I know advertising is great, definitely, but also emailing them.
Oh, yeah.
About those packages. And a different, like whether you're doing a couples package or a Galentine's, yes. I love those ideas. Are
so important.
Gift cards for Valentine's Day, whatever it is. But yeah, the clients. And then like advertising. So would right now be a great time to advertise for Valentine's Day? What are some ways you could do like ads for Valentine's Day? What would you?
Well, it pretty much follows the same formula that I teach in my program, the Ad Lab, and that all my students follow, and that I follow myself whenever I'm doing advertising. So it starts with your offer. So you decide, okay, what am I going to be offering special for this holiday or this season? Create an offer that's just for your ads, and a limited time. So you could say it's until like the 14th of February, for example. It expires on Valentine's Day. And also give a limited quantity too. Say maybe I'm only accepting 20 new clients for this package. And then you write your caption, and the caption is super, super important. You know, you need all the details. You want to introduce yourself. You want to make it clear exactly what's included, what your pricing is. You know, everybody always talks about like, talk about benefits, not features, but really you don't want to get too technical. You just really want to make people think like, oh, I want to be in her chair, or I want to be at her treatment bed. So I've got a formula for how to write captions that convert. And right now what works really well are videos. So kind of like reel style videos, just like 30 seconds, really quick, but they tend to convert the best. And you're going to need to make it really easy for people to book, or really easy for them to buy a gift card with you, whatever it is that you're advertising. And for sure, in order to advertise something for Valentine's Day, you want to get some video clips in there. So get some video clips of maybe past Valentine's Days that you've done, or photos from past Valentine's Days that you've done, or if you've like set up any like decor in your space that's Valentine's related. If you're advertising like a massage package, for example, be sure to get some clips of you doing massages. It doesn't have to be like super complicated. I try to make advertising really, really simple and basic. And of course, then you're also going to want to target the right people, put the right budget together, all of that. But yeah, advertising for Valentine's Day can be hugely profitable.
And I'm glad you said that because I think sometimes people think it can be hard to advertise. Or maybe they've tried to boost an ad before and it didn't work.
Yeah.
So they got a little bit discouraged. But what you're saying is pretty easy to set up. Use Reels. They're probably already doing Reels. And
yeah,
you can like take some content that you already have on your phone. And like you said, what did you do last year for Valentine's Day? Maybe you did some Valentine's Day makeovers or whatever it may be. Or if you're doing here, maybe you're promoting like more of a romantic style so you can pull together like some of your romantic style here.
Yeah.
It's of that nature. But I like that. I like that for sure. And it doesn't have to be hard. And so now tell us, like, some people get it mixed up, like boosting ads or actually running the ads. So tell us the difference and what are the benefits of each of them?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of my students recently have been like, Stephanie, you always tell us not to boost posts, but I did. I'm sorry. And it actually worked pretty well. And I've been hearing that more and more because, like, traditionally, I've always said, like, don't boost your posts. Use the Meta Ads Manager, which is an app, a free app that they give you, which has so much power behind it. So many great targeting options. You can test out different ads. You can do this. You can do that. And so that's how I run my ads, is with the Meta Ads Manager. So I just go to facebook.com/ads manager, and then I set up my ads through there. Alternatively, some of my students do kind of go the alternate way and do it kind of the easy way, but it doesn't have as much power or features behind it. It's just like, go on your Instagram page, post something, maybe post like a reel or a video with a caption, and right from the Instagram app, you can just boost it. Choose your targeting, put a budget together, say like what your goal is. And I've had students get results that way too. And more students have been telling me that. So I'm not going to be as dogmatic. I'm not going to be as like strict about it. I think that whether you boost your posts or whether you use the ads manager, as long as your post and your ad has all of the elements of a high converting ad, it can still do well.
Now, when you're thinking about a marketing budget, that's the thing. Because, like coming from big companies, they have marketing budgets and they understand the importance of it. And it's like a big thing. But a lot of times working with smaller businesses, they don't have much of a marketing budget. They just want to make money. You know what I'm saying? There's not a marketing budget. They just need to bring income in. So what are some thoughts around what your marketing budget should be?
Yeah. So I think, I get students ask me this all the time. And, the easy answer is I say, start with $5 to $10 a day with ads and then see what happens. But the longer answer is, what is the package that you are advertising? How much does this package or service cost? And what are your goals for it? So if you're advertising, for example, microblading, and your microblading costs, let's say $600, or no, let's say $800. No, let's split the difference. Let's go with $700. And you are expecting to be able to spend like $50 in advertising and book this $700 appointment with a client. And so let's say maybe your goal is to get 3 clients. So that's $2,100. And you're like, well, my budget is $150. That would be nice. But the truth is that because you are advertising a very specific service, microblading is not for everybody. It's not your run-of-the-mill typical service. And it is higher end. It is an investment. People take their time to decide. They research all of that. It's going to take you more time and more money to advertise that offer. So keep that in mind. I like advertising things that cost $200 or less. I find that that's the sweet spot. You're profiting, you're making good money, and it's not that much. It's kind of a no-brainer for clients. Like, it's not one of those things where they really have to be like, $700, like that's a big investment. Like $150, $200 is the sweet spot. And if you spend $5 to $10 a day on that kind of ad and you run it for a week or two, a lot of my students are able to book 5, 10, 15 clients with that amount of budget, or maybe even more. I've had students, a lot of my students get 10 times return on investment with their ads. So they spend $100, they make $1,000. They spend $50, they make $500. It's not, you know, it's not a firm number, but that's a really good return on investment to look for.
Now, in order to get those results, are there some, you know, tips you would give for setting up your ads, or, you know, are there certain things you should be doing? Because sometimes, you know, everybody's not getting those type of results with their ads, I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. There's a lot of bad ads out there.
Right.
So it all starts with the offer. Remember, we talked about how the common irresistible offer. Make it something that people want to get right now. Like advertising a Valentine's Day package right now is perfect because it's, you know, it's timely, it's exciting, it's sexy. It's something that people have on their mind. Or, you know, if summer vacation is coming up and you're advertising like waxing, or, you know, the summer weather comes early. Like, say, for example, in May, it's been like really hot, but people don't have a tan yet and you're advertising spray tanning. And, you know, that's something that's really timely. That's just an example. Or advertising, you know, makeup packages during bridal season. Mm-hmm. There's so many different ways that you can make your offer coincide with what's happening right now. That's the first thing. If your package and your offer is not good, if it doesn't have good pricing, if it's not something that's irresistible and, you know, includes some bonuses and upgrades and that kind of thing, which I teach in my program, how to put together those kind of offers. If it doesn't have that, the rest of your ad is probably going to fall flat. Like, so even if you've got like a super professional video, if you don't have a great offer, forget about it. So offer, really great caption, an instant attractor video that includes you, that shows you, you know, at the treatment bed or at your chair, working your magic with clients. We'd love to see results from clients. Obviously, you don't want to be advertising a facial without like actually showing some of your clients after their facial. We want to be, of course, like targeting the right demographics. We want to be, this is something that I forgot to mention. Like, one of the biggest deciding factors of whether your ad is going to succeed or not is your attention to following that ad. Look at the results, understand what those numbers mean, and don't give up if it doesn't work right away. I've had so many students who just like, they look at their ad and they're like, oh, it's not working, but they don't give up. And they try a second version of their ad, like they slightly tweak the caption, or they slightly, you know, they change the length of the video, they edit their headline to make it more high converting, and then all of a sudden it just takes off all of a sudden. So you really want to watch your numbers, and you need to tweak your ads whenever it requires it. And those are some of the secrets to having high converting ads.
Thanks for sharing it. Imagine a world where your beauty business grows effortlessly while enjoying more personal time. Introducing StyleSeed, the ultimate salon management platform designed just for you. Building your beauty business empire has never been smoother. StyleSeed handles the nitty-gritty details like booking management and building powerful business tools so that you can focus on what you do the best. Try StyleSeed today and enjoy $30 off your first month of the premium plan. You can find the link and all the details in the show notes. So in addition to running ads, are there some things you should do with your marketing that you recommend? Like, do you need to be consistent? Do you need to have a strategy in place with the rest of your marketing? Like, how does that all come to play?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, of course, there's so many things that you can do with your marketing. There's just unlimited places where you can spend time and money and effort. But most of the people in my audience, and I don't know about your audience, but like a lot of the people in my community are like a one-woman show. They work by themselves, or maybe like a suite owner, or they work out of their home, or they've got like a little small studio.
Right.
Or they're a booth renter. So they don't have all of that, you know, all of those resources to be everywhere and do everything. So start simple. I definitely think that advertising is a great place to start, even if you don't have like a following or clientele or anything, because it's a great way to get your name in front of people without having those existing connections. Having a Google My Business page, I think, is crucial, because that's how people are going to find you these days. And that's how people will, like, if they're searching for, you know, balayage, or they're searching for, you know, microblading, permanent makeup, whatever it is that you do, they're going to search on Google and they're going to look at the reviews. And so having a Google My Business page and making sure that your clients leave you great reviews is crucial. Obviously, having an Instagram and a Facebook page is fundamental, because people are going to find you on there. And also, to run ads, you're going to need to have a page. And then I think that also email marketing, like, don't just like have a client and then leave them and they never hear from you again. That's happened to me so many times, because I moved around so many times. I've been to like so many different hair salons and stuff. There have, out of like all the ones I've ever been to, there's been like a tiny handful of businesses who have ever like reached back out to me after my appointment and asked me how it went. Or remind me like, hey, it's been a while since we've seen you. Are you coming in? Or even just like give me offers or tell me what's new in their business, like during COVID,
right? Or anything.
Anything. Like,
you just get a service and never hear from people again. And it's, I'm glad you brought that up, because I talk about this a lot. But you don't want it to be like this one-time transaction. Even if this is a person who you've never serviced before, especially if you've never serviced them before, you want to follow back up. And
oh, for sure.
You know how their service was. I used to always follow back up within so much time to get a review.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I would check on them, because I did lash extensions. So I would check on them and see how they're doing with the lash extensions, and reminding them of the aftercare. I had an aftercare card I gave my clients, but I also emailed them the aftercare instructions to make sure they were aware of how to take care of them. But just those types of things, I find it's a little, it seems small, but it's a missing piece in the industry. I still have gotten services and never heard from anybody.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's like, it's leaving money on the table, because it's like essentially saying like, I only care about you when you're like behind, like at my chair or on my treatment bed. Like, I don't really care about you beyond that. And I think during COVID, like, a lot of people felt that, because some of their businesses, like, they were closed for like a year or even 2 years. And you know, you don't hear from a business for a year or two. Once things open back up, you might go somewhere else. And it just goes to show that like having an Instagram page is not enough. You need to have another way to reach out to people.
Now, what do you think? There's so many great booking systems out there. And my podcast is sponsored by one of them. But, you know, there's mixed reviews sometimes on whether you need to either have a booking system or a website or both. So what do you think about that?
I mean, ideally you would have both. But I know that having a website can be a hurdle for a lot of people, because, you know, they want to make it perfect. They want to get their photography good. They're not good with tech. They just let it fester for a long time, and they let not having a website like get in their way of moving forward in their business, especially if they're new. So I would say like ideally both, but if you're just going to if you're just starting out, if you don't have a lot of time and energy and resources, just get that booking app, get that booking software, and then eventually you can also start a website too.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Just getting started and at least making sure you have Google My Business, and then you can put your booking app right in there.
Exactly.
And like that. Now, what do you think about Google Ads? Do you specialize in Google Ads as well, or is it just Facebook?
No, I don't specialize in Google Ads. I know that they work. I have, you know, talked with a lot of people about them, consulted other people for Google Ads, run them for my business before. From what I know about them, and I know a lot has changed in the past few years, they can be really good for more higher price premium services that people are more researching. So like laser hair removal, hair extensions, microblading. There's just so much, like, if you're going to spend a good amount of money, it might be better to, like, sorry, if you're advertising something that costs a lot of money, you might want to look at doing Google ads instead of Facebook ads, because the average person is out there researching and researching and researching before they pull the trigger on, like, getting that service done, and you want them to find you on Google.
Yeah. Now, Google ads are great, and you can narrow it down as well to your local area. And like you said, I worked with someone who was in hair loss, and they performed very well for the hair loss.
Oh, yeah.
Type of services. So people that are looking for those types of services work. And I've seen it work for salon businesses, maybe people searching for, like, braiders or colorists, different things. So it can work as well, just as well as, you know, Facebook and Meta ads. So you just have to find what works for you.
Yeah.
I think both of them are beneficial. And what I like about Google is it's like you can capture that person who's actually actively searching for your service that you offer. But sometimes when you're trying to tailor the offer and things of that nature, then I like, you know, Instagram and Facebook a little better.
Yeah.
Because, like, maybe, like, say, for instance, we were talking about Valentine's, they would have to actually be kind of searching for that. You know, ask for, like, on Facebook and Instagram, you know, you're kind of reminding them, okay, Valentine's Day, we have this, we have that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's different ways you could go about doing it and targeting it, but sometimes it can be a little bit, I would say, harder to do Google ads than.
Yeah, it can be very challenging. And that's why I think that, like, Facebook and Instagram ads can be very attractive to people because it just feels a lot more accessible.
Yeah, I feel you. I've done both. Like I said, both can be beneficial, but definitely. But as long as you are on there, like I said, I love, you know, get your reviews up and find some creative ways to do that. What are some ways they can get reviews, like, for the Google My Business? Can you share some examples?
Yeah, I think that what you said before is perfect. And that's what I always recommend. It's such an easy first step of, like, set up an automated email to go out. You can do it through your booking system, or if you're not that busy and you don't have that many clients coming in, you can just send it out manually. The day after client's first appointment, reach out to them, say, let me know if you have any questions. I hope you loved your service. You know, I'm a small business and I'm growing, and one way that really helps me is getting reviews from clients like you. Here's a link to my Google profile. Could you take 2 minutes and leave me a review? I would appreciate it so much to hear your honest feedback. And if you can leave a picture, even better, because people love looking at pictures. I've also had some of my community members do things like a monthly Google My Business, like, prize reward. So anyone who leaves a review on my page this month, they'll be in the draw to win, like, a $50 or $100 gift card. And that can work really well too.
I like that. I think that's a great, great idea. Yeah, so I like it. So we've talked about, you know, of course, utilizing ads, having your offer and all those things together. Email marketing, you definitely want to have that. Google My Business, having a great booking system, well, whatever you have to use, a booking system, a website, or whatever, and those things. Now, but even still, a lot of times I find in the industry, we know these things, but I'll talk to people. Like, I did a planning session recently with a group of beauty professionals, and a lot of it was just like, I just don't have the time.
Right.
And I don't have the time for any of that. Like, I just don't have time to advertise, and I have time to promote my business, and I have time to post my social media. So what are some suggestions for those people?
Well, I mean, I think that we always find time for things that are important to us. If you find that you don't have time to do something, like, just as an example, Instagram, like, posting on my Instagram, I always say I don't have time for it. And it's gotten even crazier since I had my son in May, because, like, I only have, like, a few hours a day to focus on work, and then I'm with him. So, you know, it's all about priorities and what we think is important. If someone says that they don't have time, like to be active on social media?
Just look at where you are spending your time. Like, are you spending your time? Like, just be very conscious of it. Like, are you spending your time scrolling on Instagram and like looking at what other businesses are doing? Maybe flip that and be like, oh, I could actually be using that time to create instead of consume. If you find that you are not as busy as you want to be, you don't have as many clients coming in the door as you want to be, maybe you do have more time than you think that you do. There's going to be a point where you have more money than time, and there's going to be a point where you have more time than money. And I think it's just like being intentional with your time. Personally, I actually just got this delivered by Amazon yesterday. It's called the Productivity Planner. And it's by this company called Intelligent Change, and you can get it on Amazon or you can get it on their website. And it's just for planning your day. And it's all about priorities. Like, you can't put 10 things on your list and expect to get them all done. You really need to think about, what is my number one priority today? If I could only get one thing done today, what would that be? And at the beginning of the week, it's the same thing. Like, plan out your week, plan out your day. Don't just leave things up to chance. Don't spend your time without being like conscious of how you're spending your time. And that's something that I've had to like figure out again, like with having an 8-month-old son, I'm having to like recombobulate everything. And time management is super, super important. So I don't have any like hacks for like scheduling, you know, Instagram posts and stuff. We all know those things, like batching content, scheduling them, all that kind of thing. I've never found a way to do that that like works for me long term. I think it's more of how I like, from just kind of like a mental state, how I look at my time and where I'm spending it, that is most important. That is the most like important like time hack that I've learned.
You know, I did a workshop, a planning workshop with beauty professionals. And we were just, it was interesting because we went through the whole 12 months of the year. And what I wanted them to do was think about like different things that they could promote in their business ahead of time. Because I asked this question, I was like, have you ever thought about it? Like, it's Mother's Day and it's a week before, and you're like, wow, I could have did a Mother's Day special. Or it's Black Friday and you see all these Black Friday promotions and you're like, I should have did something, right? So all of them like, yeah, I've done that. And I was like, so to avoid doing that, let's just kind of think about each month, and like most months have something, some type of holiday. It's not a big one. If you look on search of what holidays is for January, it's going to be a lot of stuff come up February.
For sure.
And that's National Lipstick Day. There's different things that might, you know, go in hand in hand with your business. So what we did was, because for those months that there wasn't like Valentine's or anything, so we looked up different things like that, like Women's Month and different things. And we went through every month, and I just had to kind of think, what could you promote this month? And everybody kind of talked for different months. And it was interesting because I think they had never really thought that far out in their business. But when we were talking about it, they had some really great ideas, like for what they could do each month. So it really was eye-opening for them that they could just thought about it. And maybe like January, when it's slower, like you said, this could have been a great time to prepare for Valentine's Day. I say it still is.
So yeah,
it's still a great time to like put something together, send an email out, and promote something to Valentine's Day, but start thinking about those things and having a plan. And then while you got that, okay, because I'm always like this, you have to find time to work on your business and not just in your business.
Oh, absolutely. Right. If you're not happy with how things are, or even, you know, I think it's so important to look at like where you want to be by the end of the year and figure out like, what do I want to do differently this year than I did last year? Like if you're not happy with how things are, you have to change something.
Right. And I can look at like trends. I would look at, okay, if you're normally slow in January, what services did you render the most in January for the previous year? Kind of look at, and then that can help you kind of plan out the type of things you could be promoting.
Absolutely.
And things of that nature, like some things you could be emailing about the type of services. So think about like the type of services they need this time of year. And those are some things I talk about as well. It's like thinking about what they need. But yeah, definitely. But I do think it's important to like have a plan and all of that, and then actually having an action plan sometimes to actually work out the plan. And that's why I say, like, you don't want to, like, even, like, because we're at the top of the year, you know, people have their resolutions, and I have my own thoughts on that, you know, and all that. But I don't do the whole resolutions thing, but I do have goals. And I look at all of my goals, and I break them down into, you know, sections. And I'm like, okay, what can I do today that's going to help me get closer to the first goal I want to hit in 2020, mm-hmm. right?
That's true. Yeah, I haven't done my... haven't actually written down my goals for this year, like personal or business, but it's something that I want to do before the end of the month. I think it's important because then that's going to guide the direction of everything else you do month by month and then week by week and then day by day.
Mm-hmm. And just having like, you know, a plan. And I want to tap into this, Stephanie, because I think marketing, because people don't really understand it, they don't see the importance of it and how important it can be for a business. I learned it years ago as a makeup artist, esthetician. I actually learned it because, okay, I was freelancing doing makeup. I needed more money. So I got into sales and I got into advertising, right? And that's when I actually learned how to run ads. And I was like, well, let me try it for my business. So I was running ads and for my business in the evening, you know, while I was working during the day, and I learned how to run, you know, my own ads. And when I learned how to run ads, I started to understand the type of client I was attracting. I started looking at those type of things because I didn't even have a clue, you know, I have a clue as to exactly who my client was. I just wanted to service women and help them look great. You know what I mean? Like it was, and I think a lot of people are like that. So it really helped me to really understand it. And the more I started to get it right and started to invest in it, it was really like a no-brainer. Like, because if I didn't invest in marketing, I didn't receive as many calls, inquiries, emails, and I noticed a difference.
For sure.
Oh, and that's when I realized how really important it was, and I started to really kind of look into it and study it. But I think oftentimes, because of the nature of, like, maybe social media, and people look at it as a form of entertainment and different things, and people know there's marketing and people are marketing to them, but they don't really understand the importance of it and how it can really help their business.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's important for not just, it's important for every business to market, right? Because that's how you get, utilizing marketing strategies and tactics and different things is how you get the word out there about your business. You don't want to be the best kept secret.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So when what do you think it'll take for us to really see the importance of, like, really, like, drive home, like, the importance of utilizing marketing in your beauty business and how important it is?
Like, what are my thoughts on how important marketing is?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll just echo everything you just said. I mean, you've got something special. You've got something that nobody else has. You've got that way that you work with clients. You've got that thing that they keep coming back for, your personality, your spark, your expertise, things that you have in common. There's just so many reasons why clients choose you. And I think that, like, a lot of people, what holds them back from marketing themselves is that they feel insecure that, like, what are people going to think? Do I even have that much to offer? I mean, when I gave birth, after I gave birth, I went through a really, really hard period of depression and anxiety. And I didn't want to do anything for my business because I felt like I had no idea what I was doing. I went through, like, that whole imposter syndrome all over again. So I didn't want to market myself. I didn't want to talk about myself. I didn't want to do anything. And, like, I think that that's kind of, maybe not depression and anxiety, but that kind of mindset of, like, oh, I don't have anything special to offer, I don't know what I'm doing, holds a lot of people back. I think that once you realize that you do have that something special, that people do connect with you in that special way that sets you apart from everyone else, then you're going to want to realize, like, oh, I am special. I do have something to offer people. I do give value. It is important what I do. So why would I want to hide it? Like you said, you don't want to be that best kept secret. And so marketing is just a way of telling people about what you do and giving them really great offers and being, you know, being a community with them, like email marketing, creating a community with people who are already your clients. There's a lot of different aspects of it, but yeah, it's again, it's a mindset thing.
It definitely is. And I think we all can go through that. Like, which is, I've been there before, where I didn't feel like promoting myself, marketing myself. And the only way I got through it was just to do it. Like, the more and more I showed up, the more and more, the easier it was for me to show up.
Yeah.
So it's just taking that first step, and it's just getting used to doing that and taking yourself out of it and remembering that you have a gift to offer this world, whatever it is, whatever gifts that you have is, you know, that's what you were put here to offer the world. And you're doing the world a disservice if you are holding on to that gift. You want to free down and get that gift of you and the things that you offer that only you can do, right? Only you. So don't.
I think that's a good reminder. I think that's a good reminder for me too, because I need that sometimes of like that confidence boost, that ego boost for myself of like, yeah, I do have something good to give.
Definitely. We all do. And I think the more that we can authentically share that with the world, the more we'll attract our ideal clients. Mm-hmm. And as I think, especially in the beauty industry, as artists, as beauty professionals, we can express ourselves in a way that can draw in, you know, the right clients for us. And all we have to do is just show up one step at a time, one video at a time, one reel at a time, just show up and show people the greatness that you have to offer. And you continuously do that, even if your books are full, because you should always be in a position to attract new clients, create a waiting list, whatever it is, right? Right, right. And especially if it's slow, get that Valentine's Day promotions together, get ready for the spring. What can you start promoting? What can you start putting out there to attract your ideal clients?
Absolutely.
Stephanie, it has been so great having you on. Tell us more about like all of the things that you offer. I know you have several programs and how they can reach you and connect with you. So share all that with us.
Yeah, for sure. So I have a program called The Ad Lab, where I teach hair and beauty professionals how to run client attracting Facebook and Instagram ads. You can join it at any time. And it's video lessons, but it's also a huge part of the program. It's also group coaching and personalized coaching, essentially on making your ads convert, making sure that they get results. I'm there every single day and every single week on group coaching on Zoom in our Facebook group. And we've also got 3 ad coaches in the program to help you get results. So if you want to check out the Ad Lab, it's joinadlab.com, and you can get all the details about the program there, everything that's included, templates, ad ideas for what to write, what to put in your video, how to target, how to spend money. I think it's an amazing program. Of course, I'm biased, but yeah, it's everything that you need for Facebook and Instagram ads for the hair and beauty industry. If you are not sure if Facebook and Instagram ads are right for you, if you kind of want to get a refresher on how they work and all of that, I also have a free training called How to Build a Full Appointment Book Using Social Advertising. And you can go to salonadsmadeeasy.com/free class. And I'll give you the links for that too, so you can put it in the notes, and you can get a free training on Facebook and Instagram ads as well.
Awesome, Stephanie. Well, I'll definitely have all of those links in the show notes. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
You're welcome. As always, stay great, and we're out. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the podcast today. Make sure you subscribe. Check us out on Apple Podcasts and leave a review. I want to hear from you. Email me at info@businessbeautynetwork.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at @IamBrandyTaylor and Facebook at @IamBrandyTaylor. I want to connect with you, so let's stay connected. And remember that all things are possible if you only believe. Stay great.